So I want you to imagine for a moment someone in your life who has hurt you. Of course, with great reverence here. As you think about that person, and maybe the way in which they hurt you, what if you knew ahead of time that they were going to hurt you? Imagine if you knew ahead of time that they were going to do whatever it is that they did to you. How would you interact with that person once you knew that they were going to harm you? Would you look at them differently? Would you speak with them differently? Maybe you would try to stop them from doing what they were going to do. Maybe you would even try to hurt them in order to get a revenge ahead of time. Maybe deep down in your heart, you would begin the grudge ahead of time. What if you knew ahead of time that they were going to do whatever it is they did to you? I think most of us would probably do one of those things in order to look at them differently. But you see, what really strikes me about the Last Supper as we think about today's feast day is that Jesus does otherwise. We know through Scripture that he is aware that Judas is going to betray him. And he's also aware that Peter is going to deny him. And as we could probably draw further conclusions, since he knew about those two, he probably also knew that most of the other apostles would abandon him and be nowhere to be found at the moment of his passion and death. And yet, on the night before all of this happens, even though Jesus is aware that all of these men, except John, are going to deny him in some way, he shares a meal with them. He shares the Last Supper with them, and he gives them extraordinary gifts. Jesus humbles himself and washes their feet, knowing exactly what they are going to do in just a few hours' time. And already we know that washing the feet is already a humbling experience. Most of us don't really do that ordinarily anymore to others. But back then, it was a little bit more common. It was something that slaves would do to their masters. It was a way that someone with a much lesser social status would honor someone else with a much higher social status. And therefore, it was scandalous for Jesus to humble himself and to wash their feet. It was scandalous for a few reasons. One, because we know he was God and they're not. We also know because he was the rabbi, the teacher, the master, and they were the followers. But even further, we know because Jesus is the Holy One and they are the ones that sinned. And Jesus knew this ahead of time, and yet he still chose to wash their feet. He gave them the gift of fraternal charity. He gave them the gift of his total humility in order to wash their feet as a sign of what was to come the following day on the cross. He also gave them a few other gifts. At the experience of the Last Supper, these 12 men that he had invested these years of his life into, these 12 men, he's shared his life with them, he's taught them his teachings, he's even shared his ability for them to interact with his ministry. And it's on this night that he gives them the gift of the priesthood. That these are the first 12 priests of the new covenant. The priests in the order of Jesus Christ, sharing in the life of Jesus Christ, that even though these men are about to deny him and betray him and to turn their back against him, to abandon him, even though these men are turning their back against him in just a few hours, Jesus shares his priesthood with them. Jesus knows that he is soon going to suffer and die and rise again, but ascend into heaven, and that as time would unfold for centuries ahead, that his incarnate presence would live on in the mystery of the priesthood, in ordained men, starting with these 12 apostles, passed down through centuries as these 12 apostles would ordain others. Jesus gives the gift of his presence through the priesthood, even though they are going to deny him. And he goes even further. He gives the gift of the Eucharist, the gift of himself, the total gift of his body, his blood, his soul, and his divinity. Every aspect of Jesus' humanity and divinity shared in the Eucharist for us, even though he knew they would deny him. It's incredible, the total gift of self that Christ is able to give. We can see that he doesn't hold a grudge ahead of time. Instead, even though he knows what they're capable of, even though he knows what you and I are capable of, Christ still chose to freely give everything. So go back to that person that you have been hurt by. And as you think about that person, what if you forgave them? It's easier said than done. Most of us struggle to forgive people that have hurt us because they don't deserve it, because what they did really does hurt. It still hurts. And it's just hard to forgive because sometimes we feel like if we forgive, then we're giving in. Or if we forgive, then they win. Or if we forgive, then we're just saying it's okay that whatever they did to us was, you know, okay. But none of that's true. All that is lies. To forgive is to be set free. To forgive is to be free enough to give everything, to give like Christ gives. But that is freedom. And you see, you and I, we struggle to live in freedom. You and I struggle to be truly free because we hold on to things that are not good for us. We hold on to these grudges. We hold on to our hurts. And as we hold on to these things, we're unable to humble ourselves and freely give, especially to those who have hurt us. We're unable to receive fully the gifts that God gives us because we cling. We cling to these things that aren't good. What if we forgave those that have hurt us? Seems novel, but this is the gospel. This is over and over again repeated for us from Christ. It's never optional whenever he says it. He always says we must forgive. In a few moments, what we're going to do is have the sign of the washing of the feet, just as Jesus did at the Last Supper. We'll have 12 parishioners come up, and I'll have the privilege of washing their feet symbolically here. But as that's happening, it's a great meditation experience for all of us, because as we watch that unfold, I want you to think about putting yourselves in my shoes, or Jesus' shoes, as washing the feet, and put that person who has hurt you into this chair. Imagine yourself washing that person's foot. What if you loved like Christ? Christ says there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. Christ says, love one another as I have loved you, knowing that they were going to deny him, hurt him, abandon him. Knowing that they were going to do that, he washed their feet. What if we just imagined ourselves washing the feet of our persecutor, washing the feet of that person who has hurt us? That's hard, isn't it? Because that person doesn't deserve it. But that's not why we do it. We do it because Christ has commanded us to love like him, to give everything, and that is freedom. And you and I, brothers and sisters, we are bound. We are not free enough to love like him, but we can be. We can be by the grace of Jesus Christ. And if for us to be able to fully forgive like that, we have to first put ourselves in this chair and let Christ wash our feet. We have to first receive the love of Christ in our own life. We have to receive the gifts that he gave us at the Last Supper, the gift of fraternal charity, that total gift of self, of humble service. Allow Christ to wash your feet in your own meditative experience, in your own personal prayer. Receive that love. Receive the gift of the priesthood. That the priesthood is a gift for you and I, all of us. The gift especially of confession, which comes from the priesthood. The gift of the forgiveness of sins and total surety that your sins are forgiven when you receive that sacrament. Take advantage of that grace and that opportunity. And then, of course, receive the gift of the Eucharist, the gift of Christ himself, the total gift of self that he gives to us in the host, the most holy sacrament. As we received Christ's gifts for us, our heart and our soul, our life is transformed, and then we are able to wash the feet of those who have hurt us. Then we are able to love totally, completely, unconditionally like Christ. That's what Holy Thursday is about. Holy Thursday is about receiving the love of Christ and loving like him. Christ was free enough to love to the end, as it says in the gospel. And loving to the end has kind of a twofold meaning. To the end of his life, he loved all the way to the end of his life, unto death on the cross. But also to the end, to the highest end, to the magnified, most glorified expression of love. Totally, holding nothing back. The gift of Holy Thursday is that as we receive Christ's freely given love for us, that we would be set free enough to love like him.